Matthew 16, beginning in verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let me throw a very basic principle at you, so basic that you may be tempted to roll your eyes at me. Here it is, in your notes. Not everything you hear or read or see is good for you, but everything is seeking to influence you, either for godliness or wickedness. I'm going to say that again. Not everything you hear or read or see is good for you, but everything is seeking to influence you, either for godliness or wickedness. As you can see, it doesn't get any more basic than that. At the same time, I don't know that you will find a principle that is more easily forgotten than that one. It is because we don't understand that basic principle, or because we choose to ignore it, that much in our lives at times goes wrong, at times even terribly wrong. Some of the most grotesque abuses in human history, even as grotesque as the systematic extermination of people groups, have happened because people forgot this basic principle. And so they listened to words and looked at propaganda that slowly but surely rewired the way they thought about others without even realizing it. I want you to think about this. If posters and speeches could reshape the way people thought and gave rise to bloody and violent movements in the past, think about this. In what kind of danger are we to have our thinking influenced by harmful and unprofitable ideas now that we have access to the entire world through a screen we carry with us every single day? The central question that Jesus is posing to his disciples in the first century and that he's posing to us in the 21st is this: what am I letting in to my mind? What am I letting in? You see, the biggest mistake you could ever make about yourself or with your life is to think that you are immune to wicked and dangerous influences. Legend has it that there was a 20th century American astrologer who, after reading his own astrological charts, came to the conclusion that he was immune to smallpox, but that he ended up contracting the disease. Ironically, his belief in his own immunity was his very downfall. Now, whether the story is true or legend, the principle still applies. You are kidding yourself if you think for a second that you are immune to ungodly influences in your life, or that you have not already, to some extent, been influenced by some or many of them. What you cannot do as a Christian is to go about your life never taking inventory of the things you allow to have influence on you. As the children's song says, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Or in the words of Jesus in verse 6, "Watch and beware." How do you even determine whether you are on the right track as far as your thinking goes? How do you measure whether your mind, your affections, your emotions, your opinions are in a healthy place? Would you know how to measure the health of your inward life? These questions matter because the world is not a neutral place. You need to know that. The world is not a neutral place. The Apostle John describes the world as a place full of three things. Lusts. That's what he says. There are three types of lusts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2:16. That's how the Bible speaks of this world. That's the world you and I live in. As I said, it is not a neutral place. As Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, this world has a course and it is constantly seeking to drag you away from God and into itself. As long as this world remains fallen as it is, there will be influences competing for your attention and for your affections and for your allegiance. Now this, know this for certain. You need to know this for certain. Social media platforms, news outlets, newspapers, preachers like myself, books, blog articles, TV shows, movies, friends, all of it is exercising influence in you, either for godliness or for wickedness. This is not a neutral world. Do you know which course your life is following? Are you paying attention? In our passage for this morning, Jesus will use an ancient metaphor to speak of these competing influences, the metaphor being leaven. Leaven in your notes. It is, of course, a figure of speech. But since we can be like the disciples in every way, I want to make sure that as we enter the discussion, we have the utmost clarity. So don't miss the point, like the disciples in your notes. It is not about what goes into your mouth, that is to say, bread. It's not about bread, but about what is taking root in your heart. That is to say, influences. It is not about what goes into your mouth. It is not about bread. It is about what is taking root in your heart. We're talking about influences. We're not talking about literal bread or literal leaven that you put in flour, but the picture is very powerful. We are talking about influences we allow to come within us. Now, with that clear in our minds, let's ask another question. Why leaven? Why leaven? God, in his wisdom, uses unleavened as an illustration because leaven has two features that make it quite unique. If you're following the notes, consider first leaven's power. Consider its power. It quietly and imperceptibly changes its host as it spreads. It quietly and imperceptibly changes its host as it spreads. The power of leaven is that even when you cannot see it, it is working. It is spreading. It is transforming what it touches. So are the influences in your life. Yes. They're always working. Influences in our lives. Thank you here, this beautiful woman. What is your name? Okay, that's good. Second, consider leaven's goal or purpose. Leaven has one goal, which is to take over. Leaven, by design, permeates everything it touches. So are the influences we allow in our lives. They want to take over. With this in mind, we can get a better sense of the weightiness of the words of Jesus. At the very least, Now, when you think about this, pay attention, please. At the very least, the Lord is telling us to be sober-minded about our lives. At the very least, don't miss that. Something very important and highly consequential is always happening in us, to us, and around us. Always. It is a sobering thought to know that there are influences constantly seeking to turn us into something and to take over our lives like leaven does. It doesn't have to be a scary thought, but it is a sobering one. It is the type of thought that makes us serious or sober-minded about life. But let's dive deeper into the metaphor of leaven. As I wrote there in your sermon notes, leaven is a very ancient metaphor. It reaches all the way back to Israel's most decisive moment. So we're going to take a deep dive into Israel's history. So consider with me what the Bible says about leaven and the Exodus under Moses. Leaven and the Exodus under Moses. If you would, please start making your way back to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to go into the history of this metaphor. Remember the purpose of the calling of Abraham. Out of Abraham, God was going to build a nation whom we know as the nation of Israel. But Abraham's descendants had a very tumultuous history. Through the events surrounding Jacob and one of his sons, Joseph, we know Abraham's descendants ended up in Egypt as slaves for 400 years or so, more. So here's a very short summary of the events in your notes. Here it is. Israel had been set apart for God. We know that. Israel had been set apart for God. Yet they were leavened, or shall we say influenced, by Egyptian darkness. Okay, so that's where we begin to see something of this metaphor. They were leavened or influenced by Egyptian darkness. So if you take the metaphor of the leaven and you apply it to the people of Israel, it represented something very specific for them. In your notes, what leaven represented for the people of Israel at this time in their history is this: a dark past under who? Pharaoh. In parentheses there, i.e., the old. I want you to think about this. What leaven represented for Israel, a dark past under Pharaoh, that is to say, the old. The leaven is the old. I will explain why and where I'm getting this from in just a moment. What would happen to a people after 400 years of being assimilated into a different culture? What would happen to them? They would begin to look like the culture, right? Why do you think it was so easy for the Hebrews to make a golden calf and bow before it so quickly after the Exodus? The reason is that idol worship was all they knew for several generations, spanning 400 plus years. That's a long time for Egyptian leaven to do its work and spread among a people. The Hebrews had been leavened very deeply by ungodly ways and the idolatry of Egypt. The rest of the story of the Old Testament is about God taking the Egyptian leaven out of his people. But as we know, the turning point in Israel history was what? What is the turning point? The most important event in the history of Israel. The Exodus. And how did they celebrate the Exodus? In your notes, the Exodus was celebrated with unleavened bread. Now we are ready to read the passage in Exodus 13, verses 6, 7, and 8. After God sent the 10th and last plague, which was the death of the firstborn in chapter 12, And as the Hebrews prepared for the Exodus from Egypt, this is what they were told. Exodus 13, beginning in verse 6. 7 days you shall eat what? Unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. Was this important to God? Very important. Why? What's the point? Verse 8. You shall tell your own son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. That's the explanation. Why unleavened bread? If your son asks you, why are you eating unleavened bread? That's it. It is because of what the Lord did when we came out of Egypt. Once again, for the Hebrews, leaven represented a dark past under Pharaoh. Leaven, in other words, represented the old. That's what I mean by it. Leaven represented something to which they should not want to go back. Leaven represented slavery, idolatry, wickedness, darkness. And that explains the feast of unleavened bread. In your notes, unleavened bread, what did it represent? It represented a bright future under who? God. God. That is to say, unleavened bread represented the new. Are you seeing it? The new. Through the unleavened bread, God was teaching his people an invaluable lesson. Through the feast of unleavened bread, the Hebrews were learning that they were being removed from the sphere of darkness, and they were being transferred into the sphere of what? Light. The old was being left behind as they were moving into the new by the power and grace of God. This is what the unleavened bread represented. Are you beginning to see the true import of the words of Jesus in Matthew 16? They are loaded with significance. You can go back to Matthew 16. To say that the teaching of the Pharisees was leaven is a very weighty thing. There's a kind of teaching, there's a kind of influence, Jesus says, that acts like darkness of Egypt, and it is therefore not good for you. There is a kind of teaching that leavens you and pulls you away from the light. There are things that once you are exposed to them, they act like leaven and will fight to take over your thinking, your affections, your emotions, your words, everything else. Let me give you a very easy example. Very easy. I've used this many times in the past. Very simple, very straightforward, very powerful. This is a very pornographic world. Are we agree? It's everywhere. You can have access anywhere you want. If you allow that to come into your mind, do not be surprised that everything else in your life is affected. Pornography acts like leaven. Once you let it in, it begins to take over the way you see the world, the way you see people, the way you treat them. Everything is affected. We're going to go back into that in a moment. But before we see how this leaven may act upon us, let me go ahead and draw some parallels between us and the church and the ancient people of Israel. The Bible teaches that the church is by no means, and I want to be clear about this, the church is by no means a replacement of Israel, but we are a continuation of Israel in that the church is the actual fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, that in him all the families of the earth would be what? Blessed. And in Christ we are. But we know now that leaven and unleavened bread were a significant part of Jewish religious life for what it represented for them. Every time they ate that unleavened bread, they were supposed to remember their dark past under Pharaoh and their bright present under God's just and kind rule. What about us? Does leaven have anything to do with us? Perhaps not literally, but the principle of it 100% absolutely, which takes us to our next point in your notes. We looked at leaven and the Exodus under Moses. Now let's look at leaven and our redemption in who? Christ. Leaven in our redemption in Christ. Consider this. It was during the Passover in Egypt that Moses instituted the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After they slaughtered the lamb and put its blood on the doorpost, the Hebrews were to eat the meat of the lamb with what? Accompanied with what? Unleavened bread. You can read that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. The Passover lamb and the unleavened bread went hand in hand. Why? Well, I believe the reason is as follows. Think about this. Don't miss this. It was the blood of the Passover lamb, the very thing that allowed Israel to live as the unleavened people of God. That is the connection. It was the blood of the Passover lamb that allowed them to live as the unleavened people of God. Let me explain. The blood of the lamb that they put on the two doorposts and the lintel of their houses as they were getting ready to leave Egypt, that blood saved them from what? From death, from the angel of death that descended upon Egypt. And that same blood secured their exodus from the land of darkness, as well as their freedom from Pharaoh's tyranny. It's all about that blood. It's all about that blood. So how do you celebrate the blood? Unleavened bread. Because of the blood of the Passover lamb, they can now go into the promised land and live for God, no longer contaminated by the idolatry and the darkness of Egypt. Are you following? The blood of the lamb was the turning point. The blood of that lamb was the turning point for the people of Israel. There was a before and after the blood. Amen? There was a before and after the blood. The before was idolatry and darkness. The after was true worship in the light. We, brothers and sisters, have a very similar story to tell, but much, much better. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you following me? Yes? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. So we can rejoice together. We will return to this passage once more over the course of this sermon. But for now, I just want to show you this one marvelous gospel truth. Surprisingly, this gospel truth has everything to do with what? Leaven. Leaven. I will unpack more of the context in just a little while. To the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little what? Leaven leavens the whole lump. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are what? Unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Verse 8, let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now you can fill in the blanks in your notes. Christ, our what? Passover lamb has been sacrificed. In other words, think about this. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. What does that mean? We are free from slavery. Isn't that what it meant for the Hebrews? We are free from slavery. We are free from sin. We are free of death. Amen? Praise God that through the blood of Jesus, eternal death has passed over us. Satan, the Pharaoh, has been defeated and sin has been condemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. All because of the blood of our Passover lamb. Therefore, two things are true of us who are in Christ Jesus by faith. Number one, in your notes, the leaven of malice and evil has passed away. Behold, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth has come. The leaven of malice and evil has passed away. Behold, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth has come. Think of this with me. If the blood of the Passover lamb was a turning point for the Jews of old in the Old Testament during the Exodus, how much more is the blood of our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, a turning point for our lives? If that blood gave the Hebrews of old freedom from darkness and took them into the light, how much more has the blood of Christ done the same for us? Our Exodus is much greater because the Egypt we have been rescued from is darker. The Pharaoh we have been released from is much stronger, and the blood we have been saved with is much more precious, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Because of Christ, we are no longer lumps full of leaven of malice and evil. Through Christ's blood, we are now unleavened bread and are being filled with the Holy Spirit of our God. I don't want to speak for you, but I will speak for myself. I am at times guilty before the Lord of minimizing and diminishing the glory and the power of what Christ Jesus has actually accomplished for me through his blood. And you know what happens when we do that and we minimize and diminish the glory and the power of what Christ has actually done for us and accomplished through his blood? We quickly become like the generation of Jews who, having been saved by the blood of the Passover lamb and having seen the mighty works of God, they built a golden calf and worshipped it. They became idolatrous. They quickly forgot that because of that Passover lamb, Egypt was dead to them and they were dead to Egypt. Did you hear that? Because of the Passover lamb, Egypt was dead to them. They were dead to Egypt. We, brothers and sisters, can be just like them. Go to Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6. Look at what it says to us. What does Romans 6 verses 10 and 11 say? For the death Christ, he died. He died to what? To sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves, what? Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In other words, you live in a different sphere. You are out of Egypt. You are out of Egypt. You and I need to start thinking differently about ourselves. We are not leavened with malice and evil anymore. In Christ, we are unleavened. Sin is dead to you. You are dead to sin. Because of Jesus, Egypt is behind you. It is old. You are on your way to the promised land. The new has come. And because this is all true of us, we are in Christ Jesus through faith. We come to our last point. Our last point. Leaven and our call to test everything. Leaven and our call to test everything. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. What we are about to read is Paul's amplified version of what Jesus says about leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees. This is those words amplified for all of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Paul says, test a few things. Test some things. Test most things. Now he says, test everything, and then what? Hold fast to what is good. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the influence of their teaching. Paul says, test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with what? All vigilance. It is time, in other words, it is time for you and me to be discerning. It is time for you and me to be discerning. It is time for you and me to become a sober-minded people. Pay attention to your life. Take it seriously. You and I will give an account to God. Therefore, since both Jesus and Paul and Solomon are telling us to beware, to test everything, to keep our hearts with all vigilance, I'll leave you with three diagnostic thoughts. By diagnostic, I mean that these thoughts, I pray, will serve you well to take inventory of your own life and determine the direction in which you are headed. And please don't tell me your life has no direction. It always does. You are headed somewhere. Even if you don't know what that is, you will always have a direction. Here's the first thought. First diagnostic thought. Beware of anything that slowly, remember how leaven works? Everything that slowly makes you comfortable in hypocrisy. Beware of anything that makes you slowly comfortable in hypocrisy. The teaching of the Pharisees is known for promoting hypocrisy. The most powerful word picture of what hypocrisy actually is can be found in Matthew 23:27. In fact, why don't you read it with me? Matthew 23:27. I want you to see this. When you think of hypocrisy, think of this, okay? And by the way, it's only 11:27. Wow, we have time. We have time. I've been going way too fast. I'm going to take my time, brothers. Matthew 23:27. Here is a description of hypocrisy. What did Jesus call the Pharisees? Whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs. The image is striking because it gives you this insufferable paradox. It does not matter how pretty a tomb may look on the outside because it is made to host death on the inside. Hypocrisy is to worry about the outward appearance while neglecting your heart. It is to live a double life, being fully aware that this is what you are doing and lacking the conviction to change your ways. If you are hearing, reading, seeing, or believing anything that tells you that it is okay to do that, leaven has already entered your heart and you must be aware. Turn to James chapter 4, if you would. James chapter 4. This is what the Bible says to those who are playing with hypocrisy. This is what the Bible has to say. In fact, the Bible calls them double-minded. Double-minded. So to those who are double-minded, James 4, verses 8 through 10 says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Now, take note of those words. Let your laughter be turned into what? Mourning. Hypocrisy is a very dangerous game to play. Those who are happy in hypocrisy endanger their very souls, and they laugh because they take their own lives lightly. It is time to be sober-minded. Second, in your notes, beware of anything that slowly makes you comfortable in legalism. Legalism. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If you want to know what legalism is, Galatians is the book to understand legalism. I will read verses 9 through 13, and then I'll explain what legalism is. So beginning in verse 9 of Galatians 5. Once again, what does he say at the beginning? Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. There's the metaphor again, verse 10. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. So here's a definition of legalism. Legalism is to diminish in any way the total sufficiency of the cross of Christ for our salvation. Legalism is to diminish in any way the total sufficiency of the cross of Christ for our salvation as if anything else were needed. In this case of the Galatians, there was a person telling the Christians in Galatia that in order to be reconciled to God, they needed circumcision. And that, Paul says, is leaven. It is a teaching that contaminates your life and the church as a whole. Christ and he alone is our salvation. If you're trusting in anything else, leaven is creeping in. Beware. But there is another side of the same coin, and this is our last one. Here's the final diagnostic thoughts. Beware of anything that slowly makes you comfortable in licentiousness. Licentiousness, with a T there in the middle. Licentiousness. Turn for one last time to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as I said we would. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is very, very powerful. We cannot forget this. There was a man in the church at Corinth who had given himself over to sexual immorality of the worst kind, and he had no remorse. You can see that in verse 1. The problem was this. The church at Corinth, they knew it. It was common knowledge, as you can see in verse 2, but instead of mourning over this sin and confronting the immoral man, they were what, according to verse 2? What does it say? You are arrogant. And according to verse 6, they were boastful. How were they arrogant and boastful, you might ask? Here it is. They abused the grace of God, thinking that now, because of grace, everything goes. Because of grace, everything goes. They were licentious. They thought grace was license to sin. So this brother is sinning. Let's welcome him. That's what grace is all about, right? Paul says, no, 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 that's arrogance. That's boastful. And it is not good. My friend, if you have ever entertained that thought that grace is license to sin, let it die once and for all. Do you know why the grace of God appeared? Let me show you. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to show you why the grace of God appeared. And I hope this will bring the point home very strongly. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I want you to take this home with you. Paul says clearly, for the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all, training us to do what? Renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. In other words, anything that is seeking to make you comfortable in sinful behaviors and patterns, using God's grace as the very excuse for it, is lying to you. It is leaven of the worst kind. What did Paul say? Well, Paul did not say, make some provision for the flesh, did he? He didn't say that. Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, Romans 13, 14. Anything or anyone that makes you disagree with Paul is lying to you. Remember, when it comes to leaven, how much do you need? A little. A little. A little lust can lead to big adultery. A little misinformation can lead to big division. A little anger can lead to big devastation. A little fear can lead to big compromises. A little lie can lead to big deceptions. A little gossip can lead to big hurt. And a little malice can lead to eternal destruction. So take these diagnostic thoughts, and should you identify leaven within you, confess it to the Lord, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So let me leave you with a final note of hope. Here's a final note of hope. The kingdom of heaven has a leaven-like quality, because we know that one day it will do what? It will take over, as Jesus says in Matthew 13, 33. It will take over. Take over what? Take over everything. Not only the entire world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God like the waters cover the sea, but we ourselves will have Christ fully formed in us. That day is coming, my friend. Live for that day. You will see Christ and you shall be like Him. Live for that day. Keep fighting the good fight. Press on. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put away the old leaven of malice and evil and present yourself to God as unleavened bread with sincerity and truth. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And if the Son sets you free, what are you? You are free indeed. Let us pray. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen.